WeekendWagers.com, your place to go. Lance Motown Fisher joins us with our Super Bowl Super Duper edition of Weekend Wagers. You guys have the Super Duper Bowl. For all of our listeners, you can go to the website, WeekendWagers.com. There's 25 questions, like, who's going to win the coin toss? Will there be a special teams touchdown, yes or no? Will there be more turnovers or team timeouts? Which one? Will there be a touchdown reverse by an instant replay, yes or no? Also, there's 25 questions. Whoever gets the most correct wins $100 juicy.
That's right, Jason. Including Katy Perry will be on there, too. We have a couple on Bill Belichick's hoodie. We want to know what color his hoodie will be.
Now, last year, do you know what color was the Gatorade last year? Like, do you guys go back and look in history? Like,
yeah, we've done this a number of years. Last year, was it yellow, and the year before was water, or it might have been the other way around? I think it was yellow and then water.
Ah, okay. And do you know, each team, like, it doesn't have to be the same color on each sideline, right? I would think some teams probably have their own, and some teams have three different colored jugs. It's just whichever one they grab.
That's a great question. Who's in charge of, well, I'm sure the trainers are obviously a part of that process, but yeah, who does make that call?
Will Katy Perry, this one for Majot, will Katy Perry play his song I Kissed a Girl at Halftime, Majot, yes or no?
Not all of it. She'll play an abbreviated version of
it. You think so?
I think so.
The conservative, yeah. NFL playing I Kissed a Girl?
I think so.
Interesting. Maybe.
Yeah, it's one of her biggest hits.
It is.
They'll squeeze it in, I think. Yeah, just not all of it, but
what do you mean? They're trying to get a whole new demographic.
Well,
all over
that's
that.
The other angle.
I don't think anyone's complaining if that song gets played, right? I don't think so at all. So, once again, go to weekendwagers.com. That closes right before the Super Bowl. So you got a few days if you want to go in and make your picks. Quickly, let's talk about the game. Who do you like and why?
Well, I guess we'll go over the stats really in brief. We, you know, remember we're 3-0 in our last three plays going through the playoffs, and overall we've hit our last four Super Bowl picks. We actually didn't play the one we avoided for the last 5 years since Pro Computer Gambler has been around, and we're on a four-game winning streak going.
And you're picking?
And we're picking the team. We're picking. We like Seattle in this one. I mean,
now are you? Now
that was anticlimactic.
Yeah. So you like Seattle? Why?
A lot of reasons. Since we're looking at how the public is betting this game. Seattle's, you know, this game's a pick 'em in many ways. If you look around, you could definitely get +2 on there. I know Bodog had it at +2, and that's, if you're going to be savvy about it, I mean, why not take the points where you can get them? Some of the bigger trends that we're liking here, we're basically looking a lot around what the perception is. That's why right now we're 2 days before game time. We're looking at the perception, and there's a lot of bets on New England. And that's something we're not huge fans of, typically. There's almost 60% of the bets are on New England that looks, making it look like it's a fairly easy New England victory. You know, we know how New England plays on natural grass, which is great. But on the other side, we look at, you know, Pete Carroll with the Seahawks plays really well against bad passing defenses. We have a stat here, over 227 yards. He's 16-5 against teams that allow quite a few passing yards. One of the, you know, our numbers ourselves, we've crunched the numbers. Our numbers, unadjusted, look like a fairly close game, 1 or 2 points. But when we're looking at key numbers and how they relate to our raw numbers, we're looking at Seahawks 24, Patriots 20. That's really we're looking. So we're looking at the under as well, the 48.
Yeah, that was my next question. A lot of people are projecting not a lot of points. Why is that?
They think in a game like this, they think that running is going to be a key part of the game, possibly turnovers. I mean, you've got to remember, 48 is a lot of points. So, you know, we're not thrilled about necessarily going hard on the under. We really like the Seahawks more than we like the under. We're not making this a huge bet either. This is a marquee game. We do like to bet it. We do like to find an edge on this game. There is a lot of information on it that we crunch through. Again, we're not betting the farm on this one. We're just making it a standard one-unit play, nothing more. But, again, we've hit our last four in a row, so we're going in this one. One thing we really like about this one is there's a huge statistic out there that the Patriots are really, when they're undervalued in many times, they're undervalued. They're 11-4 against the spread when it's either a pick 'em or 1 or 2 points on the road through 2001. However, but we also look at, since 2001, teams off a playoff win, where they put up 39 points or more are just 7-13 and 3-17 against the spread. But what's more interesting is that the Pats are actually 4-0 against 0-4, sorry, against the spread on this trend, losing the past 2 years in this exact spot. Last season, after they beat Indy, they lost to the Broncos. And the previous season, it was the Ravens after beating the Texans. Is it going to be 3 in a row where they put up a whole whack of numbers in 1 week, conference championship, and then lose in the Super Bowl or the next game? That's a huge stat that we really like going at, in the sense of it's recent. You know, everybody loves Bill Belichick. Everybody thinks he is a genius. He gets them there. But is this one of those situations where he overloads them at some level the week before, and now they're going into Seattle?
What about the Gronkowski factor for Seattle's defense? Like you look at all the stats when Gronkowski's in and how much it impacts New England to make them a much better team overall. How does that defense match up against Gronkowski? Because that to me, that's my deciding factor when I looked at this game, is the Gronkowski factor.
Of course it's a factor, but it doesn't really play into the team game nearly as much as it's more or less an overplayed statistic.
Okay.
For us, we're looking at all sorts of reasons. We're looking at, in this case, it's looking at teams that score a lot of points in the playoffs tend to have a letdown game. Is that psychological? Is that a reality? Since 2001, that is a reality. A lot of teams let down. And in a game like this, it's not like we're the only people thinking about what the Gronk's going to do. I mean, Pete Carroll is a very intelligent coach. This is beginning of, the D word, the dynasty, if they win this one. But, 3 years, this guy's been coaching them, and they've done nothing but good things. And, I mean, the other thing...
The stat that you brought up that surprised me the most about Carroll is he's 16-5 against teams that are bad pass defenses, because Seattle's known as a running team.
Right.
Right? So they're known as a running team, yet teams that have bad pass defense...
I heard all week how bad Russell Wilson is. Russell Wilson couldn't crack anybody else's team. Russell Wilson isn't a top 20 quarterback. I mean, except all he does is put up numbers. He's got a 3 or 4 to 1 ratio for touchdowns to interceptions. I don't know why anybody hates on this kid. This kid does nothing but do his job. He had 900 yards almost rushing this year. He is obviously a threat. Yes, they rush, but he rushes for a lot of yards.
Yeah. And that, to me, is going to be the interesting one. Like, what do you think about the middle linebacking core of New England? How are they going to play? Because they got some excellent athletes.
Well, again, back to everybody sees this coming. It's all going to neutralize, in my opinion. I mean, I think Pete Carroll's an adjustment type of coach. Obviously, if the run's not working early, I mean, look what happened against Green Bay. That game was dead and done. And... they couldn't do anything against anyone. They couldn't pass, Wilson threw 4 picks. Nothing was working. I mean, some of them obviously weren't him, but nothing was working. And they ended up coming back and winning that game. Another thing we keep reading, we're seeing a lot of ESPN reports and a lot of just general reports about things like, I got some quotes. Marshawn Lynch can't do anything against the New England front seven. Tom Brady can't be stopped on third down. Wilson can't run. The Seahawks have limited depth on defense. The Seahawks secondary isn't good enough. Bill Belichick has the edge versus Pete Carroll without any doubt. I mean, we love this stuff when we're betting against that team. I love to see that. And, of course, Deflategate, what does that mean? I don't think it means a lot. I think, quite frankly, it's one of those things that New England brings out to make it us against the world. I personally don't think New England's that
Well,
great.
I don't think New England brought it out. I don't think they wanted this. But
how do you spin it? So it's out there. Now, what? It's up against the world. They're out to get us.
It's interesting how they've done all these studies, how, yes, it can deflate 2 PSI in 15 minutes, blah, blah, blah. But magically, only their ball's deflated, but none of the Indianapolis balls.
Let's call it for what it is. They did it. Okay, fine. So you get caught doing it. Let's even say they got caught doing it. Okay, now what do we do with this? Are we going to say, we did it?
The NFL, by doing nothing, shows that the NFL has no backbone. None.
No. None. No, and they don't.
Yeah.
But what does New England do as a team, as a like, look what happened this week. Did anybody really talk about the Aaron Hernandez trial? The saintly...
Yeah, but why would they? Like, that has nothing to do with... Like, he didn't play all year.
No, but we're going to talk about Deflategate for 12 days instead of talking about something that had a little more impact in the league. The guy was a starter, and he was an incredible talent. And, I mean, it didn't even get any press coverage, really, especially up here. again, Deflate.
Well, it was delayed a day, too.
Well, that as well. But, yeah, looking at Deflategate, look what really happened. What does Bill Belichick do? He spins this and goes, yeah, you know, or everybody who loves New England is going, well, yeah, look, they're just going to – they're all out to get us. You know, it's all against us, you know. But Seattle's running their own version of this right now, too. Nobody thinks we can, you know. Again, how many times have I heard Russell Wilson isn't a quality quarterback? Isn't a top 20, top 15 quarterback in the league?
I've never heard that. I don't see him as a top five. No chance.
Well, no, not top. I mean, when we got the Mannings and we, yeah, I mean, there's a lot
Tom
of quarterbacks.
Brady.
Of course, we're a lot of quarterbacks ahead of him. But for the limited body of work that he has right now.
He plays in a very good system and a very good team, right? There's no doubt about it. The way he played last week, if his defense isn't great, they're not in the game. Simple.
And yet still he found a way to magically make that happen. Yeah. And that's another
And special teams, right? Think about it, right? If Bostic doesn't forget how to catch the ball or get out of the way, well, then he doesn't have that. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
you have to have a lot of good things going. I don't mind Russell Wilson, but he's not. To me, Russell Wilson plays a quarterback that's a marquee position, and – based on what he's done the last years, he is not deserving of a $20 million contract that he's going to get. Based on his statistics alone, it's not worth it.
Well, I would think a lot of that has to do with being a possession guy.
Because how much weaker is that team going to – he's going to have to change and because he's going to have to play into his contract now.
Sure.
Because Seattle's going to lose a lot of other players because he goes from, what, $250,000 salary, a quarter of a million, to $20 million. Think about that.
I know.
Like, it is mind-blowing how that's going to alter their salary cap.
Absolutely. But on the other side of that, you have to look at and go, really, what has he done for us? What are we looking at from the body of work to what we're going to get? And if you lose a guy like that, you know, at the end of the day, he is performing his job. He's not turning the ball over.
Yeah,
again,
I don't discount
taking away,
that.
You know,
sure.
And that's also another reason why I really love Seattle this week. I mean, we're really hoping that – really, they shouldn't have won that game against the Packers, and they did. So take away three quarters and a half, and he played one. But that's where the bounce back happened. I don't see that happening again. I see them bouncing back, regressing to the mean. If a really good team, or even arguably a great team, plays poorly for an extended period of time, in this case, you know, 52 minutes, then the likelihood of them coming back is probably fair to say. And I mean, along with the other things that we get here, along with the computer statistics that are predicting this a very close game, but we definitely like the Seahawks in this one.
Lance Motown Fisher from weekendwagers.com joins us. Quickly, we'll go back once again, go to weekendwagers.com if you want to sign up for the it's free, it's easy to play. All you got to do is there's 25 questions, multiple choice, from ranging as you know, is it going to be heads or tails, who wins a coin flip, to how long
Nielsen,
is the anthem
we got
going
Nielsen
to
ratings.
Be. Yeah. Are there any of the prop bets that you like, and if so, why?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, this is the time of year we can talk about props, and you know, one of the things we like are is it only going to be offensive scores? Is there going to be anything other than an offensive score? Minus 185 for all offensive scores, and plus 155 for anything else.
So, special teams or defense.
Right now, I mean, we've seen a lot of long runs, defensive runs, kick return. I think at plus 155, this is definitely looks in the wheelhouse of a long shot that could happen. I think it's a great value for plus 155. The first score, it's the one we like. A TD of minus 155, not a TD, plus 125. So a field goal or a safety for plus odds. Over 50% of the time, historically, the first score is not a touchdown. You're getting plus odds. So that right away correlates to you got value on that, plus 125. Longest TD, over under 44.5 yards. I like this one over. I think the vast majority of Super Bowls you've seen in the last little while, there has been. I mean, we're only looking at a little
and
over
And that could
half.
Be any type of touchdown,
any
too, right?
Type
so that's
touchdown.
Where special teams comes into play more.
So you look at 44.5. I mean, really, both of these quarterbacks have the ability to hit somebody, you know, in a crossing pattern and find the end zone. So I really like that. Well, as soon as you cross center, that's another one that's giving some decent, you know, that's a more or less an even minus 110 each way. Over under 2.5 turnovers, minus 130 right now on the over. A lot of turnovers in the Super Bowl historically tend to be three or more turnovers tend to have an. Actually, we got the stats. This. Two-thirds of the time, 66%, there are three or more turnovers in the Super Bowl.
Really? 66% of the time, there's three or more turnovers.
And actually, on
combined, right?
Combined.
Yeah.
And actually, we have on the 25 questions on Weekend Wagers on the front page right now. When you go into the contest, I actually have one that says, "Are there going to be more timeouts than turnovers?" Of course, the obvious answer is there's going to be more timeouts between both teams. But you know, can this be one of those turnover games that we're
seeing? Last year there was more turnovers than timeouts.
That's that's right. And at points scored in the second half, this is interesting. Since 2001, average first half total is 20.4 points, but average second half total is 26.2 points. So
Average, you get more in the second half.
Average, you get more in the second half.
And quickly, before I let you go, the premier in Ottawa, as well as their finance minister for Canada, saying that they're trying to push towards the legalized single event sports betting, which would generate a lot of money for taxpayers in Canada. Do you think this is the surge it needs? Is this push it ahead?
I've been talking to people. I've been talking to a lot of my friends in the industry, and a lot of them say that this has gone from a complete long shot that almost was done to, wow, this thing has a real chance now. You're looking at Windsor, you're looking at Niagara, they're saying, 12 to 20 to $50 million in possible revenue for those cities, particularly so close to the border. And then it'll be a matter of provincial and First Nations legislation that will, pick up if this law hits effect. But, I guess right now there's another thing. Tell your senator, c290now.ca, if you believe this should go into effect.
WeekendWagers.com. Go there, sign up. It's free. Also, you can play the super duper prop bet game. It's 25 questions, and whoever gets the most correct will win a $100 GC. And you are going with Seattle. I'm going with New England. We'll find out who is right later. And I hate New England, so I can't even believe
that's
sad.
You're a Dolphins fan. You're picking New England.
Yeah, well, I'm not picking because I'm Seattle. Cheering for them. That's who I just think's going to win. Totally different. Totally different thing.
Fair point.
Totally different
thing. Fair point, Jason.